If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. HuntStand is the most popular and functional mobile hunting app on the market. With a variety of base maps to choose from, satellite imagery that is updated every month, the ability to check the weather, know property information, and even catalog your trail cam pics, HuntStand even gives you the ability to import pins and location markers from other mobile apps. Visit HuntStand.com or download wherever you download your apps. Enter discount code SN20 at checkout for 20% off. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
This is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Vortex Optics. And here we go again, another Nine Finger Chronicles podcast coming at you. Today I'm going to be talking with Nate Thomas. He's also a network content provider. He is the host, or one of the hosts, of the Missouri Woods and Water podcast. Those guys are gaining a massive amount of traction this year. So even if you don't live in Missouri, go check out their podcast because it's really fun. It's a really entertaining podcast that I think if you like to hunt, you're going to enjoy. Now, today, we're going to talk about something that I don't do, and that's coyote hunt. And it's something that if I had more time, I'm sure I would like to do it. But the guys over there at Missouri Woods and Water, man, they are nuts about coyote hunting. And they got the big old thermal scopes on their guns, and they go out at night, and they hunt coyotes at night. They hunt coyotes at day. Whenever they're not deer hunting, they're hunting coyotes. And this is a really fun episode because I honestly don't know shit about coyote hunting. So Nate schools me on that. We talk about calling in coyotes. We talk about deer hunting. We talk about the turkey population. It's a very good BS session, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So we're going to keep the intro short. Got to shout out the companies that sponsor this podcast. If it wasn't for them, this wouldn't be happening. You know, I've already talked a little bit about it, but I'm going to get into depth a little bit more as the as we get deeper into spring and summer. And that is a new partnership with Tethered. I've been peer pressured for the most part into getting into a saddle by some of my hunting peers. We'll just say that. And so finally, I got a saddle, and I'm going to be messing around with it. I'm going to be shooting out of it. And I'm going to try to kill a deer out of it this year. And I'm going to use it along with my run and gun tree stand setup. I'm going to use the Tethered saddle as a tool to kill deer. So that's the goal. Wasp Broadheads, man, I can't tell you how much I love that company. Those guys are doing some amazing things over there at Wasp. Huge fan of their products. I'm very confident in their product line. So if you want to find out more information about Wasp, visit wasparchery.com. Discount code NFC20 get you 20%. If you're looking for a crossbow, you need to go check out Excalibur Crossbows. At excaliburcrossbow.com. If you're looking for a pair of binoculars, you need to go check out vortexoptics.com. One of the best heads. So yeah, we got Vortex Optics, and then we have Exodus trail cameras on top of all that. If you want a trail camera that is consistent and you can feel confident in, go check out exodusoutdoorgear.com. And they got some big things coming down the pipe too. A little bit different of a product category than trail cameras. So that's the thank yous. Tethered, Wasp, Excalibur, Hunt Stand, Vortex, Exodus. Please go out and support the companies that support this podcast. And man, hope you guys enjoy this nice little BS session I have with Nate Thomas of the Missouri Woods and Water podcast. Enjoy. 3, 2, 1. All right. On the phone with me today from the guy who started it all on the Missouri Woods and Water podcast, Nate Thomas. How's it going, man?
What's up, man? Good. You?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I tell you what. You know what I think my favorite part about your podcast is when you guys get into an argument about the person who delivers the introduction into the podcast every week. It's like, that was horrible. You suck. And then you fight about it.
Well, it's bullshit because, you know, I did it for like the first 75 episodes, I'd say. And then Mike is like, you know, let somebody else try it. And I don't remember. Andy started doing it, and it sounded pretty good. So then we just started talking shit on each other, who's the best at it. They don't let me do the dad jokes. They don't let me have any fun. You know, I got to do all the editing and all the other – I got to do all the work, but they get to have all the fun. So whatever.
Whatever. I don't know. I just find that humorous. And that's like – so as the guy who has to upload all the stuff here on the network, when I get your episode, I always make sure I listen to like the first 3 minutes of it. So I can hear you guys bitch and complain to each other about, oh, that intro sucked. Or
well, the other issue is like, I'm pretty OCD. So 1 week Micah might say, this is the Missouri Woods and Water podcast. And I'm like, well, dude, you're supposed to say welcome.
Yeah.
And he's like, it doesn't matter.
So you have like a checklist of things that have to be said in the intro, and these guys are just shooting from the hip.
Not really. I'm just anal as hell, and that's how I started saying it like the first show we did. And so that's how I did it for the next 75.
I gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this on the network feed, I'm sure you guys have heard the Missouri Woods and Water podcast by now. But before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, which really there is no meat and potatoes. It's just a BS session.
A lot of Doritos.
A lot of Doritos? What do you mean by that?
No meat and potatoes.
A lot of Doritos. I get it now. I get it. So what do you guys talk about on the Missouri Woods and Water podcast?
Oh, man, we talk about pretty much everything. I mean, we talk about what we like, obviously. So we mainly talk about whitetail and elk and coyote hunting for the most part. But we try to stay topical for the time of year.
Yeah.
But we've had, like, recently we've had several turkey episodes. And we're going to try to throw some fishing in there and, you know, stuff that's topical for the time of year.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just talk about what we love and even stuff we don't love just so we can learn about it.
Yeah. You guys don't like coyote hunting that much, do you?
No, we don't. We love it.
Dude, you guys are like nuts game. About that.
When it's not deer season, Now Andy, he would almost argue he likes coyote hunting more than deer hunting. I think he's full of shit, but maybe he's right. Yeah. But if it's not deer season or elk season, for us, I mean, yeah, that's, and I think it's also newer to all three of us as far as the last few years.
Yeah.
Like Andy's been hunting deer for as long as he could, you know, crawl.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's been doing that forever. Well, coyote hunting has really been in the last few years for all three of us. And it's just like any other fun thing you do, like archery hunting for a whitetail, right? You can go down a giant ass rabbit hole.
Yeah.
With release, just every little thing you want to do with a bow.
Yeah.
It's no different than coyote hunting.
Yeah.
With coyote hunting. So you can, like, dude, I hope my wife's not hearing me, but I have bought three different rifles in the last couple months. And, you know, you got suppressors and now you got night hunting in Missouri where you can do that. And it is a lot of fun. It's totally different than deer hunting, which is why I think all of us love it, because it's so opposite of it that it's just a hell of a, it's a different rush than deer hunting is for me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Still not my number one though, man. Deer hunting will always be my number one. But it's definitely in second place.
Yeah. All right. So let's shelf coyote hunting just for a second, because I want to get back to that and ask you some questions of what you see and stuff. But let's talk a little bit about what do you actually do for a living?
Okay. This is the hardest question to answer. I'm a safety guy.
Okay.
So my job is basically driving around telling people not to be stupid.
Like, put your finger into a fan.
Yeah. Like, why would you do that? But people do. And so then I got to be like, hey, don't put your finger into a fan.
Dumbass.
that's my job. I drive around the states of Missouri, Kansas, and Iowa telling people not to be dumbasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what really pisses me off is when you come up this far and then you don't text me. And then, because you literally drive 1 mile from where I live and you don't stop.
I have done that before. Yes.
Dude, I feel a little upset about that.
Yeah. One time I forgot. I will say that.
Okay.
Another time you were busy. I do remember that one.
So you're gotcha.
Like, oh, damn, we should. And other times I'm just tired as hell and I want to go home.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I do not blame you on that. I don't blame you one bit. Get home. So, okay, safety guy. So if someone gets sucked into a machine or something like OSHA violation hurts someone, you got to deal with all that.
Yeah. I mean, not OSHA stuff, but yeah. Like if you chop your finger off in a fan.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I'm not that guy. But, in general, I would have told you it's not a good idea to stick your finger or your hand in there, Dan, back when you did that. Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So we got that. I tell you what, if we ever hire a safety guy, you'll be the first on the list to get the job.
We're going to be the most dangerous outdoor podcast network.
It's like, all right, we're going to shoot from a moving golf cart, this fire arrow into a pile of diesel cans. All right. Mm-hmm. And then you'd be like, no, we shouldn't do that.
There you go. See,
yeah.
That's the key word. You shouldn't do that.
But then it would be pretty cool if we did it though.
But I would say, hey guys, be safe.
Okay. Be safe about it. Okay. All right. I'm going to be over here. So when that thing explodes, I won't get hurt. Just you.
Told you so.
Yep. Love it. Love it. Okay. Let's go back to coyote hunting. All right. When it comes to people bitching about things like, turkey population, blame the coyote. Deer population, blame the coyote. Pheasant population, blame the coyote. Anything is the coyote. Anything, you know, oh man, something's killing my livestock. That's a coyote problem. All right. So
you hear that a lot.
Yeah. As a coyote hunter, right? And I've seen these little waves come and go. So there was 2 years in a row where there was a heavy population of coyotes on the main farm that I hunt. And so I put a whole bunch of trail cameras out. Dude, I had like, I think there's like 11 or 12 coyotes in one trail camera picture in 1 year.
Jesus.
Right? They came through. Obviously, the deer population was down. It wasn't zero, but it was down. And then it kind of rebounded. Then I hardly got any. The last 2 years, 3 years, knock on wood, I don't have any, hardly any coyote pictures at all on camera. But, and then the deer population seems to rebound and the deer hunting seems to be a little bit better. When you guys go out and deer hunt and coyote hunt, and maybe you clean up, like, do you ever see that, the end result of that, either in pheasants or turkey or deer in that following spring or the next year?
I want to say no, but maybe we actually are, because I think you share the same feelings about turkey hunting that I do. I'll do it, but I don't love it like a lot of people do. And a lot of that is because throughout my life, I have not really had turkeys where I hunt. So it's not very fun to hunt something that's not there.
Yeah.
Well, I actually went turkey hunting this morning and I heard more gobbles in 5 minutes than I've heard my entire life.
Oh, wow.
I didn't kill a bird, but that makes for a fun hunt.
Absolutely.
And so I feel like maybe it is helping, but, you know, at the same time, like, we've had biologists on with MDC, which is Missouri Department of Conservation, and the coyote is so good at filling holes.
Yeah.
That if you took out, let's just say, like, where I live, if you did a 5 mile radius from my house and I killed 40 coyotes in 2 months, all you're going to do is bring coyotes in from surrounding areas and fill those holes in. They're so good at adapting to their environments and knowing where they can be and not be that it's almost a losing battle.
Yeah.
But it's never a bad thing to kill them. So, I mean, you know, I don't think it hurts when you take out that many, but they're so good at surviving that you would literally, the way she explained it to us, you would have to wipe the coyote off the continent of North America to have any bearing on the population of coyotes. Even if you took, like, let's say you wiped out every coyote out of the entire state of Missouri tomorrow, right? The way she explained it, within a few months, surrounding coyotes from other states would be there and moving into those areas that have been vacated.
Power vacuum of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so good at moving and getting to where they need to get that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're helping for sure. But really what I think we need to do is deal with these raccoons and,
that's a fact.
You know, and habitat loss is, I think, the biggest problem for turkeys. You know, if you're just talking about turkeys and their issues. But, dude, when we went thermal hunting this year, this is Missouri's second year that had thermal hunting, and you're out there scanning with your thermal scope, and you go, you know, down this tree line, and you can count like a dozen coons up in the trees.
Oh, wow.
Just one farm. Like, they're just all over the place. And the raccoon is the largest nest predator that there is.
Right.
So, that makes sense as to why the turkey's hurting. You know, they're losing their habitat more and more every day, and there's raccoons running all over the place eating eggs. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like we're helping, but I don't know that it's as big as we would like it to be.
It's almost like treading water. You know what I mean? Right. It's not like you're really fighting any war. It's just like this continuous battle of maybe being property specific. So for a guy who's a habitat manager, he may see results if he consistently traps coons and shoots coyotes, right? Like that's how he does it on his farm. But just like what you said, they fill those holes, they fill those gaps. Others are just going to move in. You know, as far as the coyotes are concerned, man, they just, there's, and as far as an ecosystem is concerned, it's probably not healthy to remove a predator 100% from the ecosystem, because then when you do that, it just throws everything else out of whack. You know, I wouldn't mind if there was a couple coyote running around a farm that I had that maybe ate rabbits and ate. I mean, from my understanding, coyote doesn't even, I mean, yeah, during fawning season, they probably are a threat to newborn fawns. But outside of that, when I would talk to a biologist here in Iowa, they pretty much just eat varmints like mice and rats and
dead stuff.
Yeah, dead stuff and like
yeah, other, like a coyote doesn't actively hunt deer.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, if they see a hurt deer and they're on its ass, or like you said, a baby fawn, they're an opportunistic hunter. So if they cross paths with a fawn that just dropped, yeah, they're going to eat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, they don't actively hunt deer. Because a deer is obviously bigger than a coyote, and, you know, it would take several of them. I'm not saying they can't do it, and they've done it. They've taken down full-grown deer before, but it's more of an opportunistic thing. I mean, they'd much rather be, you know, eating dead stuff and, you know, rabbits who don't put up a fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, one of the coolest things I think I've ever seen, I was sitting in a tree stand, two coyotes came out of the woods, and they were just cruising this fence line. They hit a buffer strip in this ag field, and they're just trotting along, and then they just stopped. Both of them stopped at the exact same time. And I thought, I don't know, for some reason, I thought maybe they caught my scent. But they stopped. One jumped in this grass, got a rabbit, and then they just pulled it. And they pretty much just pulled it apart, and they each got a half of this rabbit. And I was just like, whoa, that's pretty cool, you know? But at the same time, there was other deer in this field. They watched this all go down, but they didn't run from that. So I don't know. It's like I think the next step for me is to get actually, just like you guys have, get an actual coyote professional on the podcast to talk about, you know, what actual impact they have on the ecosystem as a predator. I mean, I just don't see coyotes going through an area unless it's like a herd of, you know, a pack of 20 of them, just like decimating an entire deer population. They're not wolves, right?
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
But, you know, and like at the same time, you hear, which is good for us because, you know, when a farmer gives you permission, it is so much easier to get permission to hunt a coyote than it is deer.
Right.
Because farmers don't like them. He's like, you know, kill them all, kill them all. Well, you're never going to, first off. But secondly, you know, I don't want all the coyotes dead. I love coyote hunting.
Yeah.
It is an enjoyable thing to do. You are helping. I mean, are you making a huge difference? Maybe, maybe not. And, you know, honestly, you have to respect the coyote. You know, if you really think about it, it's probably the most successful predator in North America.
Good way to look at it.
Do you see wolves all over the place?
No.
Do you see mountain lions all over? The coyote can live anywhere you put it. Yeah. And not only can it live there, it can thrive there.
Yeah.
Throw it in the city, it'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Throw it in Alaska, it'll figure it out. It's an amazing predator if you actually think about it.
Yeah.
And some people might not think it, but I actually think they're beautiful. I mean, some of them can be ugly as hell.
Yeah.
We get that, but dude, there's some really beautiful coyotes out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's a pretty awesome animal. I mean, they just like to kill stuff we like is the only bad thing.
Yeah. So while you guys are out there hunting them, like talk to me about what you've observed them do as far as whether they're a pack animal or in like body language and how they behave.
What's cool about them is they're so smart. You know, so like you got a dog, or maybe you've had a dog. I've got a dog. They learn real fast. So The only thing that sucks about coyotes is they are smart. So if you call one in, let's say, and you miss or you get busted, a lot of people that are coyote hunters call it educating the dog. And you have just made it a lot harder to kill that dog the next time. Yeah. Because they remember things. They'll make sure to get your wind next time instead of maybe coming in a little recklessly the time that you messed it up. And it's just amazing. You can watch them think. If you see them from far enough away, which where we're at, we don't get that a lot because we have a lot of timber. And so, you know, sometimes a 300, 400 yard shot is like the furthest shot you could possibly have in the first place. But if you really get to watch them, I mean, you can watch their brain work, and you can almost, you know, if they decide to try to get your wind, it's amazing. You think a deer has a good nose, Dan?
Yeah.
Dude, a coyote has like a nose that's 7 times stronger than a deer's.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. We learned that from our biologist too, that we had on. So you think you're going to trick a deer? Probably not, right? There's zero chance you're going to trick a coyote. I mean, I have seen a coyote hit where we walked by, walking in, catch our boot and bolt immediately. Like, yeah. Boom, gone. And you've seen deer do that before as well, but it's just amazing that it's 300 yards down, you know, where we were walking in or something, and it was an hour ago, and yet it still hits that and is gone.
Yeah.
They're just super smart, and you can watch them think, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's, what's crazy is I look at a whitetail and then I look at a coyote and I say, well, especially in Iowa, okay, the biggest wild animal in from a prey standpoint, let's just call it a deer prey and a coyote predator. Yeah. The biggest is the whitetail, and the biggest in as far as a predator is concerned, you know, maybe a mountain lion. If they, you know, they say they have them in Iowa, you know, they're not like a coyote. So
established population, yeah,
exactly. Established population, a coyote is on that same level, right? So the top of the predators is the coyote, and the top of the prey is the whitetail. And like you said, their brains are probably the same in some aspect, but the whitetail is more of a binary, you know, a binary decision maker. I'm afraid, I will run. I am hungry, I will eat, type of things. Where a coyote, and I, just like you said, I've seen them where they're just like, ooh, all right. They're actually making, they're thinking something out. They're making a decision, and they're saying, this is bad for me. I got to run. And so it's less binary, more of like a cognitive thought. And again, I'm not a biologist. This is just from observations.
Oh, I agree. Hundreds of years. I think a coyote is curious.
Yeah.
And a deer is skittish.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you give a deer any reason to peace out, it will do it.
Yeah.
Right? Most of the time. I mean, right. If they're dumb, you know, you're not, if you give a mature buck a reason to be skittish, he will be.
Yeah.
He will leave. If you give a reason for a coyote to think harder or, you know, like be curious about something, you'll see him go, wait a minute. Yeah. Let me go over here and look. Yeah. All right. How come I don't see that rabbit? Oh, okay. Let me do this. And that's what I think's cool is they both act differently.
Yeah.
They're just, one's curious and, you know, just almost like it's thinking about how it's going to kill what it's coming to.
Right.
And the deer is always on edge.
Yeah.
At least the deer I hunt, I'm sure it's the same with you.
Yeah.
They're always, you know, putting their head down, up. And if they, you can tell, like, when they're thinking, they're trying to catch you. You know, you've seen a deer where, like, it puts its head down, acts like it's going to feed, and then right back up.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to figure out, am I in trouble?
Right.
That's how they're thinking. Whereas a coyote's thinking, how am I going to kill this? Yeah. It's just kind of different mindsets for both animals.
Yeah. So with that said, then you're like, when you guys are doing your setups and you're maybe calling and a coyote is coming in, have you ever witnessed one like make a decision? So you said you can see them thinking they're coming into you calling. they make the decision and they're just like, dude, I just don't feel right. And then they peace out and you, and, or they loop all the way around you and make a, you know, they bust you from a different angle.
Yeah. Oh, actually I'll give you a quick story. We were, thermal hunting. So night hunting.
Yep.
And we get set up, these coyotes must've already been educated where we were at. And, I was with Andy actually, and this was the coolest thing I've ever seen, honestly. So we start calling and immediately we see two coyotes stand up in this waterway. I don't know, let's say 200 yards away from us. Okay. Those coyotes could have come straight into us. Right.
Right.
That they could have, but they didn't have our wind obviously, or we would have been screwed. Instead, we watched those coyotes run no less than 1500 yards, dead sprint. And if you imagine, like, okay, they were, let's say at 12 o'clock, they ran all the way around us to 6 o'clock, came right up behind us and busted us.
Dang.
Like they knew, I don't know that they knew something was up, but they had obviously been messed with before. So they weren't going to take a chance. So they went all the way out of their way to make sure that what they were hearing was another coyote, and it wasn't, it was us. And
yep.
They won, we lost.
Yep.
So now they're even going to be harder to kill, because at nighttime, coyotes are much easier to kill in general. But if you educate a coyote at night, that's probably going to make it a lot harder on you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I'm sure you've been there before, but I have a perfect example of that same kind of thing happening from a whitetail standpoint, right? You do a rattling sequence. And this one year, I hunted this stand like 3 days in a row because I'd been seeing great activity down in this river bottom, and I could see, I was in the staging area, but the leaves were all off the tree, so I could see into this big ag field, and I watch this giant 8-pointer come out of the river. And so I rattle and he's walking straight towards me, and then he gets to this low spot in the field and he takes kind of a quartering angle towards me. He goes through all this thick stuff and he ends up coming up behind me and busting me, right? And this is before I knew anything. Like he got a scent. He got the scent. So I had just, you know, started doing my mobile thing, right? Where it's like, okay, I understand now that this buck knows where I'm at. So I moved up this field edge again, or further to kind of where he was going before I rattled at him, and that turned him this way, got downwind of me, busted me. So I go up maybe, I'm going to say 150, 200 yards up this little waterway. And sure enough, he comes out of the same hole again. And I look back at this now and I say, I should have been over where he came out immediately. And I don't know why I didn't. I felt like my wind was going to blow into where he was coming from. But anyway, so I move up and he's walking the field edge opposite of me, and I rattle again at him, and he stops and he looks my direction. He starts walking towards me and stops. And he turns around and he walks that opposite field edge up. Oh, and he just straight up ignored me that one
almost
time.
Like he remembered that.
Yeah, almost like. And yeah, like, and so I don't know if he actually did remember it, but dude, I have seen so many deer throughout my years come downwind at a rattling sequence that it there's times where I'm afraid to that's why I don't blind rattle anymore. Right? Like, it's got to be, I have to have a very secure backstop where I know the deer aren't going to come around me. But man, I don't know. It's one of those things where coyote, like these animals, they're very in tune with their environment. And so they know.
You're in their living room.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know,
dude,
man.
I don't think I've ever been successful rattling. That's what's like. Maybe I have. Maybe on the younger bucks. Actually, I have. I take that back. On a really young buck. But do you remember, you've only done about 700 shows, so I expect you to remember this. You remember when you and I first met, you had me on your show back in like 2017 when I killed a buck named Basket Case.
Okay.
And I was also hunting this deer named Sub-Zero.
Yep.
All right. Well, I never killed Sub-Zero that year. The next year, Sub-Zero was even bigger, but then he ended up breaking off half of his right side during Velvet for some reason. Well, I ended up seeing him on the hoof during the season, and he was working his way out into this field, and I was probably 80 yards, you know, he didn't have my wind. I was good there, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to kill this deer. I don't care if he's got half a rack. I know he's probably five. I want this deer. He's going to die. He's a deer I wanted. So I'm like, I'm going to rattle at him. And dude, I no more than started rattling and I look up at him and I've never seen a deer bust ass so fast away from me.
Oh yeah.
It's like I smacked him right in the ass.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
seen that too.
Well,
yep.
Either I suck at rattling or he doesn't want to get his ass kicked again this right. year or something.
Right.
It was just, and that was really the second time I've really had a deer. I've had deer just straight up ignore rattling.
Yep.
The deer I killed two seasons ago, that I nicknamed Scorpion, you know, Mortal Kombat references.
Mortal Kombat. Yep.
Yep. He ignored me when I rattled at him, but when I snort wheezed at him, he came tearing out of this little thing. He had a doe inside. 250 yards just straight at me.
Yeah.
You know, so the rattling didn't bother him, but when I snort wheezed at him, he was like, I'm done with you now. So it's just crazy how like they react. Every deer has its own personality.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, at least I think, you know, I look at him like an individual person would be.
Yeah.
You're different than I am. I'm different than Micah. So it's just crazy to see how some react to it and some react totally differently in the same situation even.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's why I think we all love hunting, right?
Oh yeah.
It's just it's fun.
And this calling thing, it really intrigues me because there's times where, like, obviously the focus in my, like, where I'm at in my hunting career right now is on the biggest, baddest buck on the property that I can hunt. All right. So usually that's mature where I hunt here in Iowa. That's like a 4-5 year old or older animal, you know.
Which treaty you picked that year?
What do you mean by that?
Well, isn't there 150 inch deer?
Oh, every tree? Yeah. Dude, I have to, I bump them out of the woods every time I walk in. I only shoot the big one. If that was the case, man, I would be like, I was looking at my wall, like, and I've only measured one deer. I shouldn't say that. I've measured a couple. But the biggest deer of mine that I've ever scored was because my stepdad peer pressured me. He's like, man, you got to score that deer. You got to score. And he's 154, right? And so, like, for me, that's a giant deer. And that's big. And that deer looks gigantic on my wall, right? How he's positioned and everything like that. He's a 9-pointer, 154 inches. And so I feel like I would shoot that deer every single year. If that deer came by me every single year, that's a big giant deer. So the fact that people get obsessed with like this 170 inch number, or nowadays, I feel like if it's under 200, people don't give a shit. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, if you boil it down, even in the state of Iowa, 140 is still a really good deer.
I don't think people realize.
No.
Because you hear 140 and some people, they give it a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Which, first off, I don't care
right.
what you choose to harvest with your tag. Right. So if all you want to do is go after 200 inch deer, more power to you.
Yeah.
If all you want to do is shoot a buck that has legal points, more power to you.
Yeah.
But I don't think people realize what 140 inches takes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, at least out to the ears on even on a 10 pointer, right?
And they got to have mass. I mean, you know, it takes quite a bit to hit 140 inches. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm the same way. I don't care. I just, if the deer gets my blood pumping, I want to kill a mature deer. But I think you and I talked about it this year. I damn near pulled my bow back on a probably 125 inch 8-pointer this year.
Yeah.
Because he was sitting there asking for it, and I was having a hard time, you know, controlling myself, and I ended up letting him pass, and it was a good decision. But
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
And if I would have shot him, damn right, I would have been proud about him. I mean, yeah. I mean, I can't stand when people are, you know, say, well, it wasn't, it's, you know, it's not 150 inches, but you know, whatever. Well, that's kind of disrespectful to the deer you just killed.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you.
You chose to harvest it, you know, enjoy it. Don't, you know, social media is cool. It's not.
It's really not cool.
No, I'm not a huge fan of it, but, that's one of the worst things it's done is, you know, everybody's got an opinion on what you did.
Yeah.
And if you're happy, post your picture of your deer, enjoy your, you know, your harvest and be happy about it. Don't say, well, he's no 160 or whatever. Just be happy. I'm happy for you. I'll never talk down to somebody who, you know, is excited about what they killed, because first off, I didn't pay for your tag. You did. So you use it how you wanted to. And, I think people would be a lot better off if they just did it that way.
Or just stop caring about what other people thought.
That'd be awesome too.
Yep. Hey, I want to just go back to calling for just a second, because like,
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff like a full court pickup game swish to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
That's something that I get, I'm very intrigued with from the whitetail behavior standpoint, because like you said, there's times where, you know, you can rattle and you can just catch a deer right and they'll come like a frozen rope right into you. And sometimes they hold up. Sometimes they come in within shooting range. This year was like something special as well, because I forgot my grunt tube in the truck and I snort wheezed the buck and he's a 5-year-old. So I snort wheezed in a 5-year-old buck into 10 yards. And so that was awesome. That also had a couple other deer just snort wheezing coming in. I just, you know, cause they were too close to rattle. And so I rattled in the buck that I didn't get a shot opportunity on, and I'm glad I didn't. And then the buck that I ended up shooting didn't have my grunt tube. So I just snort wheezed at him and he got real aggressive and started raking. There's other times where, just like you, I've rattled at a deer and they just, they split away. I rattle at a deer and they don't even acknowledge it. Snort wheeze at a deer, they don't even acknowledge it. Grunt at a deer, they don't even acknowledge it. And so to me, it's like there are times when they just don't care about anything. I don't even know what I'm trying to sit here and think of what is going through their mind, or what mission are they trying to accomplish when they're walking a field edge the first week of November and I rattle at them and they don't even lift their head up. And I know they hear it, because I would hear it, and they got way better hearing than me. So it blows my mind. Like, why are they ignoring this? Is it because every Tom, Dick, and Harry is rattling at them and grunting at them? And I don't think so, but I could be wrong, man. I don't know. I just find that really intriguing.
Me too. And I wish I was a better hunter to know those things, because this is one of the great things about our doing a podcast is you get to talk to people that are a lot smarter and better than you are.
Right.
And you know, they'll say something and I'll just be like, I never thought of that. But I honestly think, once again, it's just maybe he's tired and he got his ass kicked yesterday. I mean, like, okay, let's say you got in a fight yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Some dude talked shit to your wife and you got in a fight with him. Okay. And he kicked your butt.
Okay.
All right. Now today you're walking outside and some guy yells across the street at you again, hey, I'm going to kick your butt. You might just like grab your newspaper and run back in the house.
Right. All right. I'm tired of this. I'm out.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to get my ass.
You can have her.
So maybe that it's just like as simple as that. And we try to read into it because that's what we do as hunters. I at least read into every little tiny thing, and I overanalyze with deer hunting. I overanalyze every little thing, and you got a small snapshot of that last year when I texted you and called you during the season a little bit.
That was a small snapshot.
Andy and Micah get much worse than that. And so like, it's awesome to do, but sometimes I just think it's, well, maybe he's just hungry and he just got his ass kicked yesterday and he doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
And if you would have got him yesterday before that fight, he might come running in.
Yeah.
You know, I just, it's hard to say, man. And that's what I think makes hunting so fun, and calling, is you really don't know what you're going to get when you do it. And 9 times out of 10, at least for me, it's not what I was hoping. But, you know, that one time he comes running in is pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, that's a fact. Yeah. So that's why, I don't know. I love calling. I love calling deer. So let's see here. Coyote hunting, deer hunting. So deer hunting is number one. Coyote hunting is number two. Do you have a third favorite for your outdoor lineup?
Well, it's actually like deer one, elk 1A.
Oh, I forgot.
Then coyotes.
Okay.
Too. Yeah.
Okay.
And honestly, I mean, I have hunted probably 4 times now for turkeys this year.
Yep.
And I have had fun. I took my sons, Andy and I took my sons hunting last week sometime. And we actually ended up walking right in on the birds roosted. And so we kind of had to like set up real quick, and they ended up flying down the opposite direction. But that was fun. My sons, like my oldest son was like, Dad, I'm shaking. I'm like, yeah, that's called bird flu. And I can't take credit for that. That was a term. One of my friends, Scott Wilbur, has that term. But
shout out, Scott.
Yeah, Scott. Great turkey call maker. Great turkey call maker. Even better turkey hunter. But that happened. I had a situation happen today, which was really cool. I heard probably more gobbles in the first 5 minutes of daylight than I've heard in my entire life. And actually had a hen like 5 feet in front of me. I could have reached out and wrung her neck. Like, that's how close she was. And just never had the tom come in. It was still cool as hell, though.
Yeah.
So I would say turkey hunting is number three, but, you know, springtime's just so damn busy for me.
Yeah.
Where I'm at in my life, and I typically haven't had great turkey hunting spots outside of, you know, maybe it's starting to get better, that it still doesn't, like, there's some dudes, and I love them for it, that are just ate up with it. It's all they can think about a lot of times. I'll go turkey hunting. I really have fun doing it. I do want to kill a bird, but if I don't kill one this year, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Yeah. Like I would if I missed on, you know, Noob Sabbath last year or something like that,
yeah,
which is the deer I killed last year.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat again.
you like Mortal Kombat?
Dude, yeah, that's how I nickname my deer. We've talked about this before. I'm not very, what do you call it?
That's creative. I would say
so
that's
I just
creative.
Mortal Kombat character names. Yeah.
Dude, hey, it's better than the Big Ten or the split G2 buck.
Hey, shout out to Micah. You hear that? Dan is making fun of you right now without even knowing it.
Oh, so that's how he names his deer?
Micah thinks nicknaming deer is stupid.
Okay. But he gives him a name of the split G2 buck.
He'll be like, oh, that, yeah, the big eight. And I'm like, well, what big eight?
Yeah.
And I said, wouldn't it be so much easier if I said basket case or whatever, and we both knew which deer we were talking about? And he's like, no, it's stupid. So he always gives me crap for nicknaming my deer, but whatever.
I guess to each their own.
Yep.
So
I mean, it is a little bit silly, but I enjoy it.
So. Oh, I love it. When I was back in the day before kids, I named every single deer. I gave every single one of them, because you don't know if the next year that deer is going to turn into some kind of giant, right? Have that bump that puts him on the hit list, and then you have a reference point for him. So there has been a ton of deer that I've named, watch grow up, and then never kill. Someone else, they just disappeared, or somebody else killed them. So there's that.
My deer this last year, Noob Sabbath.
Yeah.
He's actually the first deer I've ever named, watched grow up, and then killed.
Yeah.
And 0% chance that it's a different deer. Like, zero. I know for a fact the deer I killed last year is the deer I've seen for 3 years.
Yeah.
He, you know, his rack is just, there's no way it's somebody else.
Yeah.
So that was awesome, because there's been other years. Like, I killed a deer nicknamed Scorpion last year. I'm pretty sure we have a few years of, what do you call that, history with him.
Right.
But I'm not like 100% positive that was him.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big wide 10. You know, he didn't have a lot of character other than that. He was really, really typical. So it could have been the one from last year, which I think it was, but it also could have been another big ass 10 that moved in that just looked like him.
Yeah.
So
Missouri, and you guys covered this on one of your podcasts, Missouri actually has a elk season though now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would, like, are you and the Missouri Woods and Water crew actively applying to hunt elk in Missouri, or is it one of those things where it probably won't happen?
Yeah. We've applied both years. It only costs like $20 to apply
as a resident.
So first off, why wouldn't you?
Right.
Yeah. You can't apply as a non-resident. So only residents can apply. And the first year there was like 20,000 applicants for 5 tags, right? Pretty shitty odds, but it's $20.
Yeah.
Last year, only like 9,000 people put in for it. Okay. So you have a 5 in 9,000 chance. So what's that? Like 1 in 1,500.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not horrible odds. It's better than some odds you got out there in the world.
Dude, and that's that first year, that's 400, you said $20,000
people
at $20 a pop. That's $400,000 for conservation to hunt 5 elk.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the next year you said was,
yeah, it dropped like 9,000 or something like that. I could be off a little bit on my numbers.
Let's just call it 9. That's still 180,000 for 5 elk.
Yeah, 5 elk again.
Right.
And it might move up next year. Who knows? But the first year, all 5 hunters were successful. But they all, not that this is a bad thing, I'm just giving stats, they all harvested that elk with a rifle. They didn't get anything during archery season.
Okay.
This year, a dude killed one with a bow. Actually, 2 dudes, I think, killed one with a bow. And then I don't know if all 5 were successful, honestly, now that I think of it. Can't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the elk in Missouri are confined. They're not confined. They're free range. But they're still down south in around an area called Peck Ranch. So they're really in like a 3-county area for the most part. I mean, I'm sure there's more, but the largest part of the herd is still kind of confined to that area of Missouri. So if you can get on them, you know where they are.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's pretty, I mean, the Ozark Mountains are, you know, it's not a flat walk or anything like that. It's some work to hunt them.
Yeah. So is this a like scenario like they live on all private ground, or is there a chance that you can kill them in some, you know, some public, like a random guy does not have to use an outfitter or doesn't have to pay a trespassing fee to get to them?
Yeah. So a lot of that area down there is public land.
Okay.
Now there is an area, I don't know if it's called a sanctuary or what, but Peck Ranch itself is an actual like conservation area. They cannot be hunted there at all.
Okay.
But then there's public ground and private that border it that you can hunt. I think a lot of people down there will give the people who draw the tags, you know, permission or whatever. I don't know. Obviously, I haven't hunted them, so I don't know how it works. We've talked to a few guys that did get to hunt them, and they got permission on some private ground to hunt them because the elk were on them or whatever. But there's quite a bit of public land down there. It's a huge piece of public down there.
Yeah.
So Missouri's got a lot of public land, actually. And some really cheap ass deer tags. Yeah. So,
Northern Missouri, just cause it borders Iowa. There's a chance, you know, depending on how my season goes, if I harvest early or decide to go somewhere the first week in November instead of hunt Iowa, I might actually go hunt Missouri this year. Like some public in Northern Missouri.
Dude, there's a giant piece of public up north.
Yeah.
I think it's called Mark Twain National Forest.
Yeah. Yep, I know exactly where that's at. Yep.
It's big. And I know, I'm sure it gets pressured, but that's public ground.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some absolute toads that get killed up there, I think, every year.
Yeah. Are you going now, keeping with the elk theme here, are you going to Colorado again this year or a different state this year for elk?
Yeah. No, sounds like we're going back to Colorado. I didn't draw Arizona or New Mexico, which I figured.
Yeah.
And we've been putting in points for Wyoming, but I don't know if I'm going to buy points this year, to be honest with you. Cause you heard about, you know, what they did with, was it moose in Wyoming or whatever? I could be getting this wrong, but they basically cut the number of out of state tags down to almost nothing that you can draw now. And that was with moose and one other species, might've been bear. I can't remember which one. Well, in my opinion, the writing's on the wall for the rest of the species, which would include muleys, elk, you know, sheep. So I'm worried that I'm going to put in for Wyoming for the next, you know, 3 years and then finally have enough to draw. And then they change it.
Yeah.
And I'm SOL. So I don't know what to do. Cause that was the plan, is to kind of to buy points in different states. And so that each year I could have enough points to maybe draw one of them.
Right.
And then the next year, draw another one and just kind of move around from Wyoming to Colorado to, and then Arizona is more like a 10-year plan. Hopefully like within 10 years we get to go there.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's kind of strange. The way I look at that is, you know, moose aren't as heavily populated in Wyoming, I would say, as mule deer and elk are, but I know that they're the whole, you know, resident, non-resident thing in Western states is more of a hot topic than, you know, obviously the only place I can go to hunt elk is in a state with elk in it. And, you know, I could say, hey, you know, I'm going to go hunt Missouri. Well, you have to be a resident. You have to be a resident to help hunt elk in Kentucky and I think Pennsylvania too. So I don't know. But I have a ton, you know, I don't have a ton, but I'll have 7 or 8 preference points for Wyoming elk when I buy my point this year. But every year it just keeps going up and up and up as far as, you know, point creep is concerned. So either I'm going to have to be patient and wait until the unit that I want to hunt, I get in like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 preference points, or I just say, ah, I'm going to go hunt a different unit where it might potentially not be as good. I don't know. I'm not a those. I'm not one of those guys who knows the ins and outs of point creep and how to stagger preference points and how to rotate states and things like that. I just usually go to over the counter states and hunt my balls off. And if I'm successful, I'm successful. Same. If I'm not, same. I'm not.
We're getting better at it. Like trying to figure out how to get, like we had a unit in Colorado where it was good. So we didn't buy points. Well, then when it got bad, we were like, oh shit, what do we do?
Yeah.
We didn't have any points anywhere, so it's not like we were going to draw. And New Mexico is a strictly lottery state, right? So you don't have to have points in New Mexico. You just put in there.
Yeah.
And if you draw, you draw. If you don't, you don't. So like we've started putting in for New Mexico now every year because of that. And then we just were like, okay, well, what's some other states we would like to hunt so that we don't get stuck in this OTC unit if it keeps getting worse? And so we're still way behind them. Like, I'm going to have 3 points in Wyoming after this year.
Yeah.
3 points in Arizona. Dude, you know how far I am away from ever getting to hunt Arizona? I'm going to be 60 freaking years old before I get to hunt that place.
Right.
But, you know, at least I got a chance.
Yep.
So I don't know. You're
telling me there's a chance.
I might be old and decrepit by the time I draw it, but hey.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Well, all right. So we're going to be winding this one up, but what's the goal? What's the high level goals of this upcoming hunting season?
I think it's for us three, it's really the same as every year, is to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, people can get stressed. I am one of them. I get stressed out. I don't get stressed out. I overanalyze things and I appear to be stressed, but I'm having a blast. I will say that. But I think, you know, people forget what the goal of hunting is. And honestly, that is to be out in nature and to enjoy yourself.
Right.
So if we can just have fun and then, it's the same goal I have every year. I would like to harvest a mature whitetail. And that's my goal with whitetail. My main goal, though, if I could do anything this year, only one thing, I don't, you know, that's the rules, right? Only get one thing, Dan?
Yep.
Is that what it is? Okay. Then I will pick to kill an elk.
Okay. Over a whitetail.
I have not killed an elk, and I've been so damn close that it's pissing me off at this point.
Yeah.
So I need to put an elk on the ground or I'm going to go crazy.
Any elk?
Cow. I don't give a shit, man.
Yeah.
Anything that's legal
is
dying.
That's the same with me and mule deer, man. That's all I want to do is shoot a mule deer. And so this year I'm like, you know, there's some places for me in mule deer, you get this crossover where you could hunt a whitetail. And that's what I put myself in position for last year. I really wanted to kill a mule deer, but I ran into some whitetail. And so I shot a whitetail.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking whitetail out of the equation this year for at least the first part of the trip. And I'm going strictly into mule deer country and I'm going to stay longer than I thought or longer than I did last time. I'm going to be better prepared and have more water available so I don't hopefully have to leave and just hunt for mule deer strictly, be a little bit more patient in my approach to it. And that the goal is, the end game is just like you with elk. Like, I just want to shoot a mule deer. I want to be able to say, hey, I've hunted whitetails, I've shot whitetails, but I want to say I've shot a mule deer. And so that's the goal.
You said you're going into a strictly muley area.
Yeah, strictly muley. Now
that is so smart.
Yeah.
Because you know what's going to happen, right? If you like went to an area that was, you know, let's say spread out between the two,
mm-hmm.
and you had that same mindset that, hey, I'm not going to shoot a whitetail. What would have happened is day one, 175-inch whitetail.
Shit, I wish.
You're going to have to make yourself a liar because I don't know how you're not going to shoot.
Yeah,
that
right?
Thing, right.
No, and that's part of the reason, right? You take something out of the equation, it can't be there. So
that's super smart. That's a good call.
Yeah, and I don't care where I'm at. if I had a tag in my pocket for a whitetail buck and 175, I don't care if I'm hunting a bighorn sheep and that was like, that's why I'm there, but I had a tag in my pocket for a whitetail as well. Dude, I'm shooting 175 inch whitetail.
He's going to eat an arrow.
Yeah. Every single day, every single day. So, well, hey man, like everybody, if you're listening to this, like Nate and his crew, they're not, they are the Missouri Woods and Water podcast, but they talk about topics from all over North America, hunting and fishing related and predator hunting. Awesome podcast, tons of great information. So huge shout out to you and the Missouri Woods and Water podcast, Nate, and good luck this upcoming season, man.
Hey, thanks, man, and thanks for having me on, and same to you, bud.
And there you have it, another episode in the books. Huge shout out to Tethered, Wasp, Excalibur, Hunt Stand, Vortex, and Exodus. Please go out and support the companies that support this podcast. Keep an eye out on the network changes that are going to be coming up. If you haven't already subscribed to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, you can do that on iTunes or wherever you download your podcast. And last but not least, man, it's all about good vibes, positive energy, and I cannot tell you how important that is. So spread the good word, right? Be happy, be positive, good vibes in, good vibes out, wear your safety harness. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.